You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Go to the OBM, Ohio Business Machines hotline right now and bring in Josh Norris from Roto World joining us. You can follow him on Twitter, at Josh Norris. He's their draft expert over there, and he, along with Evan Silva, his compadre at Roto World, put together a 7-round mock draft for the Browns today, going through everything. So, Josh, first of all, thank you for being with us. And second, let's just dive right into that. How did you have things going for the Browns?
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate you guys having me. Well, Evan, as you guys saw, listed quarterback as the number one need. I just don't think that's possible here with the Browns, except for potentially a late-round selection.
Sure.
I'm of the opinion that every single team that needs a quarterback should take Marcus Mariota. I also love Jameis Winston as a quarterback prospect, but I just highly, highly doubt that at this point he will be there for either one of their selections, and then I just doubt that they'll move up for him and if there's any takers in that area. So to me, I had them projected with a late-round quarterback, and that one was Sean Mannion out of Oregon State.
So you also, let's go in the first round. At number 12, you have them going with Breshad Perriman, the wide receiver out of Central Florida who had the blazing numbers, drops a lot of passes, but a freak athlete, certainly could become a number one in the NFL. Why Perriman? Why not maybe a Devontae Parker or somebody there if you're going receiver?
Yeah, and I know everyone is on the bandwagon, so to speak, of Breshad Perriman after, that 4.25 40 at his 6'2-plus frame. I actually, and mock drafts, right? They're somewhat meaningless, but not to say the work I do is meaningless, but you guys know what I mean.
Yes.
That I actually projected Perriman to the Browns before the pro day at number 19. So this is a bit of a move up. I don't know. The NFL, obviously their rankings and their boards are not exactly what we have on the outside in the media. I mean, everyone seems to have at some point in their top three wide receivers, Kevin White, Amari Cooper, Devontae Parker. It would not surprise me at all, given Devontae Parker's foot injury, a couple of other things, not saying they're negatives, but that could place Breshad Perriman above him. Now, do I think that's the right answer? No.
No, but you have him, I think, Browns, 47th in your big board,
right,
Perriman?
Right, right, right. But do I think that the Browns always make the right decision? Absolutely not. So to me, it makes sense from a perspective where they don't have a receiver like him on the roster right now, and they might want one.
All right. So you say edge rusher also need to come back at 19 and get, I'm not even going to try, out of UCLA, who is a very good edge rusher there. How do you compare him to, say, a Bud Dupree if he were to be on the board? Because a lot of people think the Browns maybe go a 12 at Danny Shelton if he's there, come back and get an edge rusher at 19.
Yeah. So his name from UCLA is Owa Odigizua. I absolutely love Diggy as a prospect. He is probably the best in this draft at converting speed to power. And what I mean by that is you line him up on the edge, let him create that first step, and then kind of explode into his offensive lineman and into his opponent. And that forces, if he doesn't win with that first step around the corner, then he can win with power through them. Now, he does have a history of injuries, but I think he's a superior prospect to Bud Dupree, to a lot of these edge rushers. In fact, I have Owa one spot ahead of Dante Fowler. I know that a lot of people love Dante Fowler. Now, is he a prototypical fit as the traditional 3-4 outside linebacker? He's not. In this situation, he would just be a designated rusher, somewhat like a Brian Arakpo with the Washington Redskins, right?
Okay.
Maybe you drop him 5 or 10 pounds. And really, when people talk about dropping into coverage, there's usually one drop linebacker that's a bit better at it than the other one. And even if that's the case, they might drop on, 20, 30% of their snaps, on their pass rushing snaps. And if that's the case, then they most likely will just drop in the flats or the curls in those areas. So it's not overly difficult, but in my opinion, and if this was the pick, and I think will probably be the best edge rusher on the board at that time, it would just be for pass rushing and disruption purposes.
Eddie Goldman's a guy that has been projected all over the place, and I think seems to be maybe an agreement that he's sliding a little bit, and you have him going in the second round to the Browns at number 43. What about him has people worrying, and what also makes him a good value there in the second round?
Well, I think from a good value standpoint is he gives you everything that you want from a nose tackle in terms of holding up against the run. He can hold those double teams, and even at times when he is one-on-one matched up, he can win. Now, did we see that at a consistent rate? No, but he was easily Florida State's best defensive lineman this year. I think he can play that one or zero technique. I think I was a bit surprised, honestly, that he showed up at the combine at 336 pounds. I'm not sure what the NFL is expecting. I just think that his evaluation is more in the second round range, and the first round projections and talk early on was kind of inflated and unfair, honestly. And then that's a big part of this process, right? We hear about all these prospects that, or quarterbacks at least, that, hey, he was once projected as a first round pick. Well, the real answer is he should have never been, right? In my opinion, Eddie Goldman really was never a first round prospect. He's more of a second round talent, but a good second round talent than that.
So let's say, so that's what you have through the first three around, or first three picks, two in the first, and of course 43 in the second. Rashad Perriman, 12. Owa, the edge rusher from UCLA, at 19. Eddie Goldman, defensive tackle, there at 43. If the Browns were to go defense, let's say get that defensive tackle and the edge rusher at 12 and 19, yeah, either way, at 43, is that where you would think Max Williams would be in play? Maybe a Devin Funchess? What receivers and or tight end could be in play for you at 43?
Yeah, I could absolutely see Max Williams there at 43. Max Williams surprisingly tested like an average athlete. Now, average does not mean bad. It just means that he might not be able to compensate for other deficiencies with that athleticism, right? He actually shows like a very good athlete when on the field. I mean, we see him hurdle guys all the time in the open field and create yards after the catch. He can line up in line because he's actually at least a willing and adequate blocker in that area.
Sure.
Devin Funchess, to me, is a wide receiver. I would never envision him playing in line, right? Now, he would absolutely play in the slot. He did that a lot at Michigan, and I think he's actually better in the short areas than given credit for, especially for someone his size. But just because I would never put him in line ever, he would not draw the tight end designation for me. But if you need that more receiving slot receiver or outside receiver that I guess you could call tight end just for roster purposes, sure. I guess that Devin Funchess would be there. To me, the person I mocked in the fourth round, Clive Walford, does make a lot of sense. I spoke with Kevin Gilbride, who's a former Giants offense coordinator, and he loves Walford. I wouldn't be surprised if he likes him more than Max Williams, just because he is more of a complete tight end, he thought, from more of an in-line and receiving perspective.
What I do love here, though, is that you don't have the Browns going offensive line early, which I don't think they need to do. Can you give me a little bit of background on a couple things? Number one, Michael Bowie played for Seattle, came out in the draft, seventh round pick a couple years ago. Browns picked him up. He's coming off a shoulder surgery. To me, he's that draft pick. He started in the NFL. That's a guy that's a draft pick for the Browns there. And then can you explain why you don't have the Browns going offensive line early?
Well, I think the Browns have a lot of talent among their offensive line. I think that left side are absolute studs. I mean, we all know about Joe Thomas, and I was actually having a discussion on Twitter earlier before this show that someone said Joe Thomas had a bad year. Could not disagree more. And Joel Bitonio is an absolute stud at guard already, even as just a second-round pick. And I even think John Greco has had a good career once moving on from the Rams. I think offensive line is not a major need early on, but you can add some good prospects in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. I mean, offensive line is probably the best for your money or best value selections on those third-day picks that you can pick for at any position. Bowie is someone that's interesting. I believe he was at Oklahoma State, then was dismissed or left, and then went to a smaller program and wound up, like you mentioned, in the later rounds. I know he's more of, and I know this sounds really simple, but guys that are big with large frames are difficult to get around. As simple as that sounds, sometimes that's a trait that teams look for. I think Bowie fits that, and obviously when you add some strength and power onto it, he might not have the foot speed that you want, he might not have the agility, and he might get beaten around the edge at times. But I do think Bowie, who also played some guard and tackle, I believe, could be that utility offensive lineman that teams do like to have as their sixth or seventh.
Yeah, Danny Shelton's been kind of a popular player linked to the Browns. I'm just wondering what your scouting assessment is on him and where you stand with him as a player.
Well, we talked about evaluations being inflated. I think Shelton's is a bit inflated at this point. I let me start by saying I really do like him as a prospect. But I think we always hear about early down running backs or early down players. I do think that Danny Shelton is an early down defensive tackle or nose tackle. I'm not sure how much he can give a team in those passing situations. Now, do I think he's a detriment to a defense when out there? No, because he has strength and he has a motor. But he played at almost 90% of Washington snaps this season, right? And I think that showed a lot because NFL teams really use rotation a lot more heavily, and that's a good thing. It allows these defensive tackles, defensive linemen to be fresher. And I think Danny Shelton needs that in order to be a successful disruptor in the backfield. But can he hold up at the point of attack? Yes. Does he have strength? Yes. But I'm not going to say that pass rushing is really where he wins. He can help in that area as an occupier of blockers, but to me, that's not a top 10. That's not a top 15 selection.
And you're not high on Shelton. You're also not high on Malcolm Brown, a defensive lineman who was also linked to the Browns as a first-round talent. You don't see him there. In fact, you think there are only 17 true first-round talents in this draft.
Yeah, and I'm sure teams have something in that area too. Now, for them, it's more about scheme and what type of roles they want players to be in. Malcolm Brown is interesting. He kind of reminds me of a Sylvester Williams coming out of UNC, or even a bit of Shreve Floyd at Florida. And Floyd's going to play a different bit of a position in terms of three technique with the Vikings. But Brown is someone that likes to work around his opponents more than through them, right? And I think that he's the type of, I know they're all going to have nose tackles next to their name, but to me, he's more of a four-man front, an even-man front, okay, nose tackle in terms of being able to split gaps and attack that gap in front of him rather than a two-gapping nose tackle, right, that has to occupy blockers, that has to shed and stack and do those types of things. I do think that Danny Shelton is the best in that area, but it would not surprise me at all if Eddie Goldman is – there's not a tremendous drop-off between Danny Shelton and Eddie Goldman when we look back at this draft in 3 years.
When you talk edge rushers, your favorite in this draft is Randy Gregory. And with the recent, you know, failure of the drug test at the combine, he's somebody who could potentially be on the board for the Browns at number 12. If he's there, given the needs for that rusher, if you're the Browns, are you running to the podium to take Randy Gregory?
Yes, I am, because he has the level of ability to beat deep offensive linemen in both ways. In terms of, he can work around them with speed and bend. And then he also, even though he was, 233 pounds, 235 pounds, has a lot of functional strength and can press offensive linemen and walk them into the backfield. Now, you mentioned the failed drug test. And then on top of that, Randy Gregory is a very unique player because he's 6'4", 235, 6'5", 235.
Kind of like Mingo.
Yeah, and I do think a lot of teams are wary of those unique type players because they have not seen them succeed as frequently in the past. And many times teams like to go for what has succeeded in the past because it's an easy evaluation. But once again, I do think that Randy Gregory is the best edge rusher in this class, but it's a very, very good edge rushing class as a whole.
I'll ask you about the quarterback you have the Browns taken in the sixth round, Sean Mannion. Mm-hmm. What's your projection for him? And I know it's really hit or miss in the sixth round, but what do you think about Mannion?
I don't think he's very good, to be honest. I think that other people will like him more than I will. Once again, we talk about easy evaluations. I mean, Sean Mannion is somewhat of an easy evaluation in terms of the offense that he comes from. He had to work from center. He had to work through progression somewhat. Now, I'm not saying he did all those things very well. And he's also confined to the pocket with somewhat of an odd release, and he's not a very mobile quarterback to buy himself some time. But because of his frame, honestly, and because of how long he's played, I wouldn't be surprised if a team takes him much earlier than this. I think it's a terrible decision because he makes bad decisions when pressured. And in a confined pocket. But, yeah, as a sixth or seventh rounder, you're kind of grasping at straws in the quarterback position. I guess Sean Mannion is a fit, but you really need to keep him clean in the pocket. And that can be tough when, obviously, there are offensive line issues.
Daniel Jeremiah yesterday said that only Mariota and Winston are starting quarterbacks in this draft. Do you think, you know, either a Hundley, a Petty, a Grayson can be a guy?
I don't. I think that, and I have Mariota, Jameis 1-2 overall in the rankings, but I would not select another quarterback until the third day of this draft and probably not until the fifth round at that. Bryce Petty is someone that obviously, I mean, just watching his games, watching his pro day with some people, they just gawk over his downfield arm and his athleticism and all these things. But when one thing breaks down around him, either the offensive line, pressure, having to throw to a second read that is covered, he breaks down as well. And to me, that's he lacks innate skills that Mariota and Jameis have, in my opinion. And so do the rest of these quarterbacks, Brett Hundley included.
Josh, thanks so much for the time. Follow him on Josh at Josh Norris on Twitter. Great stuff at Roto World. And I don't know if you saw this today or not, since you were the first one to have Mariota ahead of Winston on your rankings for many, 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 many weeks, is that Mike Mayock has moved Mariota ahead of Winston today on his quarterback rankings as well.
Interesting. Well, we'll see how this process plays out in the next few weeks, I guess.
We certainly will. Josh, thanks so much for the great stuff. And I enjoy the Max Williams avatar you're rocking right now on Twitter these days.
It's my doppelganger, guys. Thanks,
exactly.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, you got it. Josh Norris from Roto World on the OBM Hotline. We'll be back with our final thoughts right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.